So I have a short message this morning about the parable of the sower. Has anybody heard the parable of the sower? Does anybody know what a parable is? Like what a real parable is? So, because sometimes we just say it's a story, right? It's a metaphor. It's whatever. But if you really dive deep into what the Jews believed a parable was, is they would there's actually a word that they use for it that basically means an open door that is welcoming you in, but you have to be willing to walk inside. And what I kind of perceive that as is, has anybody been to downtown Austin? Yes. A lot of us have been to downtown Austin. You know, we live in the live music capital of the world. If you go to downtown Austin and you're walking down a path at the right time of night, you're going to hear all kinds of different music, right? There's going to be an open door. You're going to hear a melody. And you'll be able to hear enough to say, okay, that's rock music, that's jazz music, whatever. And there's a melody that draws you in. But until you walk into the room, you don't really know what the song is about. That's kind of what a parable is. So a parable is like a melody that draws you in to find out what the true meaning is of the song. So sometimes we listen to these parables, and the reason I'm breaking it down that way is because Jesus actually kind of gets borderline condescending in this one, where he's like, if you guys don't understand this, you're not going to understand anything. And if we were to say that from the pulpit, like if I were to be preach and at the end be like, y'all, if you aren't paying attention and you don't understand what I'm talking about, you're not going to understand anything. You know, some people would get offended. You know, that would step on some toes, right? But it's because he's asking us to perceive these things with our spiritual eyes and not just our natural understanding. So let's read the parable of the sower. Let's pull that up here. All right, Mark 4:1. Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea and sat down while the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore. He taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it and didn't produce fruit. Still, other seed fell on good ground and grew up, producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. Then he said, let anyone who has ears to hear listen." So let's focus on the beginning here. This we're about to, and I'll just summarize what's about to be said, is he essentially says, I need you guys to understand these parables, because if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand anything I'm telling you, right? When you read this story, Jesus never calls this the parable of the sower. He never titles it himself. We've given it that title. When you read this story, do you kind of think, why is the sower just kind of throwing his seed on any ground that he can find, right? It seems irresponsible. You know, as a farmer, you are only going to put your seed into the good ground, right? But the sower is doing what the sower does. He went out to sow. That's what a good sower does. Jesus never corrects the sower. He never chastises the sower. And what's kind of sneaky here, what Jesus does, it's kind of a trick question. It's kind of a, you know, leads us into another thought process, especially when we title it the parable of the sower. Is the sower isn't the issue. He's an independent variable, and so is the seed. But the thing that changes is the soil. The thing that changes is the soil. So actually, it kind of speaks to who we are as the receiver, as the soil, that we probably shouldn't be pointing the finger at the sower, right? And that's the natural inclination, right? When we first read that story, almost all of us, let's be honest, when we first read that story, we're like, what is he doing? Why is he throwing the seed all over the... Who throws seed on concrete? Like, what is he doing? What is he doing? He's being wasteful, right? But when you know that the seed is endless and the seed is good, you're going to give it out everywhere. You're not going to run out of it. It's not going to drain. And we do the same thing in church. We say, well, why do you keep preaching to that person? Why do you keep preaching, speaking into that person's life? They're the rocky ground. They're the ground that's been beaten on. They're not going to listen. The devil's going to come up and take it, right? But that isn't the issue. The issue is, who are we? What kind of soil are we, right? So we have these four different kinds of soil. We have the hardened soil. There's a word that gets thrown around, a phrase that gets thrown around, and I'm not belittling it. I'm just saying it's a hot button phrase right now. Church hurt, right? We use that one a lot, and that's kind of like the hardened soil. The hardened soil, it's been beaten down so much, it's been packed in so much, that when the seed is thrown on it, it doesn't matter how good that word is. It doesn't matter how good, how much scripture they read. It doesn't ever fall into the ground, right? And the devil comes up and takes it right out from under them. And that's what happens when we're the hardened ground. That's what happens when we've allowed the world to beat us down. That's what happens when we've allowed ourselves to say that I can't be part of the church anymore. I can't be part of this because I've received too much hurt. I'm not coming against anybody who has been in this place, but we have to reflect, right? We have to reflect on these things. And it's not like a comparison game, but man, I'm a pastor's kid. Dude, like, church hurt is like a regular thing. It's like every other day, you know, you're like, all right, there's another opportunity to get offended. There's another opportunity to be upset. And I'm not belittling anybody, because I don't know anybody's past. I don't know anybody's past experiences. But what I am telling you is that it's not God who's doing that. It's not the seed that's causing you to be hardened. The seed is always good. The seed always bears fruit. The seed always, and there's always a good sower. There's always an option to receive from that. So, The rocky soil lacks depth, right? This is, the rocky soil tends to be, actually, it's kind of, a lot of pastor's kids fall into the rocky soil, either the hardened soil or the rocky soil. And, you know, we have a lot of kids who have been raised knowing God in our youth group. They have been raised to look to God for all their answers there, but their parents have great faith. Their parents have amazing faith. And that's part of the reason I wanted to call out Enoch, is like, Levi is such a man of God. Man, praise God for Levi. This church is so blessed to have him. But Enoch can't get to heaven on Levi's faith. But he stepped into a place where he's rooted himself in God and not rooted himself in his parents' faith, that shallow faith. And I see it again, as a youth pastor, what happens, you know, we go to a Christian concert, we go to a youth camp, we go to whatever, and we're on fire for God, right? We're on fire, we're ready. We hear a really good message. Oh man, I'm so excited. And then tomorrow, something bad happens, and you're like, pull it right up, right? And sometimes those people can be the most dramatic, in their faith. I'm just being real. When my wife and I first moved into our house, we moved in on the inspection day, you know, when we get to walk around and check out the house. And I looked in the backyard and I was like, oh yeah, everything looks good, except just whenever the grass is put in the backyard, you know, no big deal. I'm sure you guys were just waiting on it. He was like, oh, there won't be grass put in your backyard. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, grass is an upgrade. And I was like, what? In what world is grass an upgrade? And so we get into the house. And oh, by the way, we live on a slope. So all that water just collects, and we have a green belt behind us with a massive fence. And so what happened? We had sunflowers grow in our backyard, 8 to 9 feet tall. These were very dramatic looking sunflowers. We could not see the green belt anymore. They were very showy. They were beautiful, right? And we kind of do that with the people that sprout up really quick, right? We do that with the people. We're like, man, oh, look at them. They're so big in their faith. They're so, you know, they like people to see how in faith they are. They like people to see how. And then what happened when I wanted to get rid of those sunflowers? Shoop, 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 shoop. No effort at all. Zero. But that's what happened with those sunflowers, is because they were not rooted. In fact, they grew up pretty darn tall, right? But I know a whole lot of plants that are deeper in here than they are up here. And those will last a long time, and those will bear some fruit, right? Sunflowers are actually kind of a weed. I mean, really, it kills the grass around it. It doesn't allow anything else to grow. And that's where we get to the thorny ground. Thorny ground, they take interest in the Lord, but they take interest in everything else too, right? The shallow youth pastor speech is, you know, I like to party on Saturday, but I'm going to be there on Sunday, right? I might be hungover or whatever. You know, it's like I'm still going to dabble in the things of this world, and I'm going to still try to love God at the same time. And it just doesn't mix. It's like oil and water. It's like, you know, the metaphor that's always, or whatever, the analogy that's always used is you put a little bit of poop in a brownie, you're not going to eat the brownie, right? That's what we do. I'm not chastising us. I'm not saying, like, oh, we all need to feel condemnation for this, but it's a reflection, right? Like, how can we break up our ground so that we can receive the word in a better way, right? So as I'm breaking down all of these and analyzing them, I'm not saying, like, oh, we should feel terrible about it, but we should feel a level of conviction. Like, how am I hearing the word, and is it not setting in me? Right? When I read the word, do I read it in faith? Does it really settle into my heart, right? And if you start to say, you know, I'm not sure, like, I can read the word as much as I want to, and it's just not affecting me anymore. Because soil can change. Soil can adapt to different situations, right? And sometimes we adapt ourselves into a situation where we're not fertile anymore. And so that's what this is all about. That's what the parable of the soil, I'm going to call it the parable of the soil because it makes more sense, because that's the thing that's changing. That's the dependent variable in this situation, is we don't need to focus on the sower. You know, and you're in Rhema right now. Let's just be honest. There's some speakers who are easier to listen to than others, but they're all preaching the word of God. You know, that was a big thing. Here, I'm going to take a sip of my tea real quick. Thank you. Sponsored by Lipton. We had certain speakers that, man, I love them to death, but they would talk like this the entire time they were talking. And, you know, we're tired. A lot of us have, like, two jobs, and we're going to school, and, you know, like, you're showing up exhausted, and then somebody says, and the glory of the Lord fell on the people, and you're like, dear Lord, just change your pitch just once, please, please. I'm dying here. But it got so much to the point where people actually dishonored him and didn't even show up to the class. That isn't right, right? That isn't right. Now, if he's preaching the word, if what he's preaching is an unspoiled, uncontaminated word of God, then there is power in it. It doesn't matter what the delivery is. And we can say, oh, well, I don't like the flick of the wrist on the way he threw that seed. Or I don't like the way, you know, he should have thrown that overhand and not underhand. You know what I mean? That's what we do to preachers. That's absolutely what we do to speakers. We say, I don't like the way he said that. I don't like the way he phrased that, right? And all the while, we're the thorny ground. All the while, we're the hardened soil, right? And so what can we do to change that? What can we do to affect our own heart? Well, first off, we have to know that the word of God is always going to bear fruit. Unspoiled, uncontaminated, it will always bear fruit. And just like the soil adapts, a lot of times, now we are going to read into the sower a little bit, but this sower in particular, he was preaching a unspoiled word of God. But what the only thing that we need to worry about as a sower is, are we contaminating, are we adapting our word to fit a different kind of soil? So what we've seen in history, and you can attest to this, I'm sure, as you know, some of my farmers in the house, is over time, what we have done is we have mutated seed, right? There's whole colleges, whole universities that have programs that are dedicated to mutating things to adapt to different kinds of soil. Adapt over time, right? And so what we've done in the church is we've kind of sprinkled in our own kind of seed, right? Or we've mutated the seed, or we've changed things in order to adapt to the soil. But we should always preach the perfect word of God, the unspoiled word of God, the unchanging word of God. You know, it doesn't change to the times. It doesn't change, you know, the word of God doesn't change just because there's dry land out there. The word of God doesn't change because we haven't seen rain. The word of God doesn't change just because we aren't seeing the miracles that we would like to see in our life in this direct time. Right? We believe for those things, but we don't change the way that we farm. We don't change the way that we sow. We don't change the way that we preach, right? We are always going to preach the unspoiled word of God. Let's go to Romans 1:16. We don't have that one? That's okay. I can read it. So Romans 1:16. Okay. I'll go ahead and read it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. I am not ashamed because it is his power. How many times have we been preaching and we've been worried about our delivery, right? How many times have we said, okay, I'm not going to go and approach that person in the grocery store. I'm not going to go talk to them because what I have to give isn't good enough. But if it's the word of God, it brings power. It brings salvation. It's worthy to be preached. It's worthy to be spread. It's worthy to be talked about, right? Because it's not us as the sower. We don't focus on the sower's delivery, right? We focus on how much the sower is sowing. Right? How much is he speaking out the word? How much, you know, I've been told before that there's people that I should just stop trying to minister to. Is that right? No, that's not the love of God. That's not, and that basically belittles the power of who God is, right? That at some point that soil is going to change. At some point that soil is going to change, but there's always going to be fruit in the seed. Isaiah 55:11. We probably don't have that one either. I don't think I sent that to you. So is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. His word never returns void. So all the while we're pointing at the sower and saying, man, he's going to throw that in the concrete. That's going to go to waste, right? That's going to... His word never returns void. We say, oh man, he's throwing it into the rocky ground. It's just going to get uprooted right away. His word never returns void. He's throwing it into the thorny ground. It's going to get choked up by the world because it allows the weeds to grow around it, right? His word never returns void. And that has to be our faith in what we're preaching. That has to be our faith in what the word of God is. You know, towards the middle of the week, sometimes the kids get a little bit discouraged during Mission Arlington, right? Because they're trying to do their best to deliver these messages. They're doing their best to preach these verses, right? They're doing their best to do these little plays and everything. And so they start to look at how they did it, right? They start to reflect on, okay, well, I stuttered here. I didn't say this verse right. I did this wrong, blah, 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 blah. But when you are preaching the word of God, there's power in the word. His word is the same thing that set the universe into motion. It's the same thing. And so when we are leaning on what he says, we're leaning on his pure word of God. We're not trying to contaminate it. We're not trying to manipulate it to fit the person we're preaching to. Then there will be fruit. There will be fruit. And if you haven't seen it yet, start to speak the fruit. you know, we're going to pray and speak over Mission Arlington on the things that we've already done, right? We're going to water the ground that we've sown into. We're going to water that ground because that's what a good sower does. I'm not going to sit back and say, I put it in bad soil. I'm not going to worry about that, but I'm going to go ahead and water this ground because it looks good. The seed is really taken here. The soil has really been tilled. So the question is, are we fruitful ground? And are we being sowers? Are we, though? We have to reflect. Because here's the thing is if it's not taking root, if we're not being changed by it, then we need to look at ourselves and say, okay, do I need to get the rake out? Do I need to start asking God to shake things up inside of me, to break up the hardened ground? You know, the thing about hardened ground is it has to be ripped back up. It's the most painful process out of all of these. It has to be torn up. And sometimes it can kind of hurt because we've gotten so stuck in our ways, right? That we're being asked to change. We're being asked to go back to the fresh soil, the fruitful soil. And sometimes that's the hardest part of the process, is being asked to be something that we're not right now. Hardened soil is going to fight back the hardest. So if sometimes we have a hardened heart, y'all. Sometimes we've been offended. Sometimes we've allowed things to beat us down. Sometimes we lack depth. We haven't rooted our faith in the right things. You know, you're the rocky soil if every time something happens, every time there's a change in the wind, you start to lose faith. And again, this isn't condemnation, but it should shake things up in us, because if Jesus was preaching it, then we need to listen to it, right? We need to allow it to change who we are from the inside out. And in that thorny ground, are there things in our lives that we're allowing to be part of who we are that aren't of God? Allowing things, allowing habits, allowing focuses. Maybe it's a hobby, whatever it is. If it's changing who we are, you know. I heard a John Bevere message one time. He was talking about how he went over to another country, and it was like a third world country. And he had been there before. It's like same town and everything. He said, the glory of God just fell everywhere, you know, the first time. And then he comes back. And it was just like, it didn't seem like God was moving, right? The Holy Spirit just seemed dry. And then he started looking around, and he started seeing that, like, a lot of the kids. Now, I'm not coming against sports altogether, but he started seeing that a lot of these kids were wearing jerseys of their favorite soccer teams and their favorite football teams. And then he found out that the town had just gotten television for the first time ever. And they were so engrossed in it and so disinterested and so full of the world that they couldn't receive God. And that's kind of what can happen with that thorny ground, is we've allowed things to come up and choke out the seed. The weeds can grow, and it might grow. It might still come up. You know, I've got grass in my yard, but there's still weeds around it, and the grass looks terrible, right? That's what we can allow our faith to. So, and I'm not coming against anybody, but we can in faith say, yes, I am that fruitful ground, but God, search my heart. Search my heart. Give me understanding. Give me understanding so that I can chase after your ways and not my ways, right? Don't allow me to be that hardened ground that doesn't bear fruit. That's our prayer.